It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
The circumstances that bring us here tonight, they're terrible. The hardest part, we cannot change the outcome.
Oh, you just feel for them. And so many questions to be answered. And overnight, we got even more questions. It's the that was from the vigil last night in Moscow, Idaho, for the four University of Idaho students, college students that were killed. And you just feel for the mourners, the family members of the victims, trying to get some answers on this. More answers than what we can provide. So we're bringing in the experts here, and I'm very excited to talk to her. Dr. Carol Lieberman is a forensic psychiatrist, trial expert witness. She's a columnist for Inside the Criminal Mind and Front Page Detectives. First of all, Carol, thank you for being here. We really appreciate your insight. But secondly, how about this new twist? Is this not the first time? This is the development last night that the authorities investigating are saying that the attack might not have been targeted. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Yes, good morning. I know. I was just reading all the news of the morning. I mean, that's one of the basic facts that they said at the beginning, and a number of people said it, and now all of a sudden you say, well, maybe they're not targeted. I mean, it's very frustrating for everybody, of course, especially the families. And if there was some news that they put along with that for why now they're thinking maybe it wasn't targeted, and that might be more satisfying. But really, it just seems like they don't know what happened.
That seems to be the prevailing. That's what I think, Dr. Lieberman, a lot of people are saying. Maybe they just, I hate to say it because, look, they're the experts here, but do they just not know what they're doing? Because wasn't this, you've seen many, many different kinds of cases we'll get into here in a second, but was this called a sloppy and mess of a crime scene, like a lot of evidence? So I think a lot of people thought that they'd have an answer by now.
Yes, right. Like, why isn't there DNA or why isn't there something? And why are they, how about yesterday, why did they take away all the cars just 2 weeks after? Why wasn't that done sooner?
Yeah.
Dr. Lieberman, I have a question. This is Karen. Thanks for joining us so much. I do a Full Rigor podcast on crime, and I just want to pick your brain here. I'm very happy to have you on. So there were four of the students that were killed, Zanna and Ethan and Madison and Kaylee. They were ages 20 and 21. Then there were two others on the first floor who were not killed.
Exactly.
So if you can climb into the mind of the killer, how is it possible, first of all, to get past the people on the first floor and then go up there? These people had, they were all stabbed multiple times, and they had defensive wounds.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, they did say, I mean, they've changed what they said about the defensive wounds, too. First, they were saying, like, two of them did have it, and they sort of waffle on that, too.
Oh, God.
But there are a lot of things that don't make sense. I do think that it was targeted. If it were just a mass killer, a serial killer or a mass killer, why wouldn't they have killed the people on the first floor, too?
Yeah, that's a good point. Exactly. And in that kind of a case, Doctor, wouldn't they have heard something? That's what I can't wrap my head around.
Yes, I still am having trouble with that, too. It just seems like something is fishy with the people on the ground floor, especially because the next day they waited so long to call 911, and they called friends to come over before they called 911.
What?
They said they were unconscious. Yes, they thought they were unconscious instead of dead, the one person that they called about. And despite the fact that other police and so on have said that this was the bloodiest crime scene that they've ever seen, so how is it that one person who they saw, there was no sign of an attack? Lots of things don't make sense. I do think that it was a targeted attack. And I think that it might have been, my theory is that it might have been an incel. You know, an incel, and that's a subgroup of men who it stands for involuntary celibate, and it's a subgroup of men who are on the internet, together talking on the internet, because what brings them together is that they were rejected. They feel rejected. They were rejected by women.
Oh wow.
from the time that they started trying to date women.
Oh, wow.
And they feel like they're entitled to sex and they aren't finding women who will give it to them or date them or whatever. And so they have a lot of rage towards women. And, you know, we've had examples of that. There have been murders by incels before because they build up so much rage towards a woman in particular or just women in general.
Then how do you explain Ethan Chapman being killed, the boyfriend?
Well, because he was in the same bed, with, supposedly, as his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. They were a group, the four of them. Those two were on the third floor and the second floor, maybe they felt they had to kill them to keep them all quiet. But I think more that it was also the fact that they were like in this, they were the in crowd. I think there was a lot of jealousy towards these people. They were very attractive. They were always having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was part of it too.
Really interesting.
And now the father of Kaylee is saying that Kaylee and Madison, the two best friends, were killed in the same bed. We hadn't heard that before.
No.
They were supposed to be each in their own room.
It's kind of like we're hearing more from the parents. The investigators at this point. Is there a point in time, and I hate to just blame them, and I don't want to start to say incompetence. I have no idea. I have no right to say that. But is there a specific reason why investigators might be so slow in releasing information in a case like this?
Well, you know, I was thinking this morning by something that one of the law enforcement people said. They're very intent on not scaring. Of the town or particularly, it seemed like maybe they were trying to protect the college, that they didn't want to say things that would make
The vacuum of information makes people more afraid.
Mm.
Well, yes. And also there's another little clue that no one seems to be following up. Why didn't the dog, Kaylee had a dog that she was really in love with. And why didn't the dog bark? And not only in terms of the people and the two other survivors, but also neighbors have said that they didn't hear the dog bark.
So maybe the dog knew the person.
Exactly.
Wow.
That was due to the dog knowing the person.
Wow.
The law enforcement was saying, you know, we have all these online sleuths. They're giving out the wrong information and so on. Well, you know, it's because people
That's
are frustrated. I mean, on television, this gets solved in a half an hour or an hour. Jack McCoy would have had this solved by now.
I love it.
I mean, they have to expect that, though, with a lack of information. Of course, people are going to, you know, I get that they get false tips and all that stuff, and that's frustrating. I understand that, but people want answers. You know, and it's not only a localized thing to Idaho. I've got two college students. They were petrified for whatever, you know, you start to think about these things and they're worried about going back to school and whatnot. And, you know, it does matter to
it's
people.
Like Danny Rowling in Gainesville. It's a nightmare.
Nationally. Yeah, exactly right. I don't know. It's a crazy story. So we thank you for the insight. I think, by the way, just as we wrap up here, Dr. Lieberman, what you said about the connection to the school, University of Idaho here, and it sounds like they are going overboard to protect the school.
Yes.
You've hit on something fascinating here. If you know small towns, and I know it's a major university, but Moscow, Idaho isn't exactly too big. They rely heavily on universities.
Right.
They would do whatever they can to protect the image of that university. That's fascinating. I don't know.
And the incel thing is very interesting, too, the celibate thing.
We're going to have to dig into that a little bit more, but that's great insight. Dr. Carol Lieberman, a forensic psychiatrist. You're a expert witness, too, and a columnist. Online, you can find you on Twitter at Dr. Carol MD. But I have to give out your website because I love the name. Can I do that real quick? Terroristtherapist.com.
Love it.
Yes, and also expertwitnessforensicpsychiatrist.com.
Nice.
Beautiful. Doctor, thank you so much for the information. We will maybe talk to you soon and get some more details on this case.
All right. My pleasure.
All right. Take care. Wow. There's a lot to dig into there, Karen.
I know. I'll put it up on the website. once we're done.
There you
I'll
go.
Put the whole interview up there and kind of give you the highlights of it so that you can breeze through it again, because she said a lot of things that we have not heard about, and it could possibly be what's going on.
It's a lot of stuff in there. All right, coming up next, switching gears. It's going to be a lot lighter, we promise. We'll get into some holiday lighting. New York City was last night. Locally here is West Palm Beach tonight. We'll talk about it coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. All right, that and more during Rapid Fire at 7:30. That will be News Talk 850 WFTL. It's the South Florida Morning Show. Answer me this. How is this former FTX CEO, Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF they call him, how is he doing interviews with CNBC and not in jail? Why is he still in the Bahamas? This is what I have questions about.
They're
this
trying
guy,
to extradite him.
They're trying, and now they're fighting with the country of the Bahamas because the Bahamas wants to get whatever cash is left.
Yeah.
What a twisted tale. Everyone this wants is. This.
And do you think that all of the money that was donated to politicians is going to be given back?
He was, by the way, and this is confirmed, and just to repeat it again, the second, this company, under his leadership at the time, FTX was the second biggest donor to the Democrat Party during the midterms.
Right.
Just a tick under $40 million.
He promised to give them $500 million.
So you'd imagine that he's pretty protected. So, ripped off people to the tune of and lost billions and billions of dollars, not just celebrities. I mean, this was like people with life savings, too. But he goes on and does an interview yesterday with CNBC, one of their financial anchors. By the way, this is so weird. This is the first time I've heard him speak. This is exactly what I thought he would sound like.
Yes, he sounds like he looks.
First of all, he's very sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't ever try to commit fraud on anyone. I was excited about the prospects of FTX a month ago. I saw it as a thriving, growing business. I was shocked by what happened this month.
I don't know what happens in future, even if he does face some sort of a trial or censure, or if it gets big enough, if there are like questions about Senate panels and everything else. But he just said there, I didn't mean to commit fraud, but he's admitting it's fraud, no?
Yeah, but they're apparently commingling funds. I mean, there was no accountant.
No, oh my God. The inner workings of this thing was a disaster.
It was a mess. Everyone was sleeping with everybody.
My favorite part of the story was they looked at some of the financial records, and they would have like expense reports, different things. So instead of an audited actual expense report file you would submit, they had like emojis for what the expense was. Like Cartwright was like a car emoji. Or the things would be like a top hat, things like that. Here's what else he said.
I had a duty. I had a duty to all of our stakeholders, to our customers, our creditors. I had a duty to our employees, to our investors, and to the regulators in the world, to do right by them, to make sure the right things happened at the company. And clearly, I didn't do a good job of that. Clearly, I made a lot of mistakes or things I would give anything to be able to do over again.
All right. I know you're not supposed to judge people on surface things. I get that. But let's say you're you have access to find out what the guy's really all about, like these celebrity endorsers, not just a regular investor. You wouldn't get access to him. You may not know anything about him, who's in charge of the company. But if you're a Tom Brady
and Giselle, you'd want to look at the books
and you want to look at him.
Yeah.
Or if you're, Steph Curry, or you're one of these, or this Kevin O'Leary, that one of the guys from Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful. You're going to tell me you're going to give millions of dollars to him?
Apparently,
there's something wrong with the kid.
Apparently he really cowed a lot of people, and he went to MIT. I mean, he does have pedigree, but no one scratched below the surface of what happened.
And it's almost like it's not by definition a Ponzi scheme, but in a way it was a confidence game.
Yes.
Because with the celebrity endorsers, they all looked at each other. Like, just for an example, let's say Brady looked at Steph Curry and he said, well, Steph's involved. It's got to be legit. Let's do that. And then somebody sees Brady involved. Well, he's doing it, so let's do that. Then regular people like you and me say it, and all these people I like and trust, they're into it, so I'll do it.
Do you think Tom Brady knows anything about Bitcoin? Does he know anything about the blockchain?
Does
he understand the concept?
Probably not somebody that's going to look into what this guy's all about, although he was one of the celebrities that did a video with him, like his arm around him. Here's my buddy Sam.
Well, the other thing is Sam's got $100,000. They said that he had all his money. He lost $30 billion in one day, and he's got $100,000 in the bank. But he's living in a $40 million home in the Bahamas.
And that's the other angle of this. I guess his entire family, whoever the heck they are, had been skimming from the company funds, and they have this giant compound. And here's another thing. This guy, Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, the bald guy, if you watch the show, he's one of the celebrity endorsers. scrambling to save their reputation. And their strategy on this is to defend Sam Bankman-Fried 100%.
Oh, yeah, he'll get a skate, right?
This is what Kevin tweets yesterday. Really? I lost millions as an investor in FTX and got sandblasted as a paid spokesperson for the firm. But after listening to that interview, I believe the kid, is what he says.
No.
They're just scrambling to save their, they don't want to be held responsible either.
The problem is you can't be that smart and that dumb at the same time.
Holy
it doesn't
smokes.
Work that way. Oh, I made a couple mistakes. No.
What a scam.
He's a mini Madoff.
Why is this guy doing interviews? He should be behind bars.
He should be being interviewed by the DOJ and the Justice
Department. How? All right, we've got some other holiday stuff to talk about coming up next, but also we can't go on any further without mentioning. We'd be remiss without talking about the sad loss of Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac. The heck happened there out of nowhere? Man, is that sad.
Lost another good one.
That's coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. And more coming up. Come a couple of minutes away. Top of the hour at just past 8 o'clock with Karen and her news. News Talk 850 WFTL. It's the South Florida Morning Show. Man, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention more of this. Lost this great lady, and it seemed to come out of nowhere. And it's just one of those musical icons that just hits you like a gut punch when you think about losing Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac. Short illness that took the world by surprise, including, get this, some of her closest friends and bandmates. That's how quick it was, including Stevie Nicks. Shared a hand. This is heartbreaking, by the way. I don't know if you saw it. Shared a handwritten letter on social media calling Christine her best friend in the whole world since the first day that Stevie was in the group in 1975. You know what's amazing is that as much drama as they went through, the whole Rumors album, that whole thing was about all the affairs and fights they were all having.
Oh, everyone's sleeping with everybody.
For them to come through and still be friends after all of that stuff?
Amazing. So what killed Christine McVie that just came over the internet? I don't know. They are asking cancer. Said, no, it's not cancer, but she died of a short illness at the hospital yesterday. She suffered from a minor condition that weakened her old bones.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. That's according
to... I don't
know
what it could be. Just I think people are asking the question because it was just so sudden and surprising what
she
you said.
She died peacefully.
I mean, technically, do we need to know what it was? No. But I think people are just in shock. The band itself issued an official statement saying, she was truly one of a kind, special and talented beyond measure. She was the best musician anyone could have had in their band and the best friend anybody could have in their life. Beautifully said. That's just so sad. Man.
Yeah.
All right, more on that coming up. And we ran out of time. We're going to have to get to our meth monks story after the top of the hour. What's
that? If I had to be quiet all the time, I'd have to be on meth.
Well, I tell you, it's got to be stressful.
I know.
But how does a monastery in Thailand get a hold of meth?
I don't. That's a good point.
They were all, and who drug tested them?
Yes.
There's
and
many,
why?
Many questions.
Huh. Maybe they were trying to like get into the Akashic record and they were expanding their minds.
I guess. I don't know. Good news is you don't have COVID, but you tested positive for meth. Father or whatever the guy. I don't know.
And you can't say
Brother.
Anything about it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. They can't talk.
You have the right to remain silent. Oh, wait. Never mind.
You already have that. Anyway, we got that story, some other headlines, and tree lightings coming up next. The East South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. Traffic and weather together in the meantime. Every 10 minutes, in fact. How's it going?